Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome everyone to the 63rd episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. My name is Dylan. Do we decide on senpai or senpai?
Senpai.
Oh yeah, that's
senpai
right.
Is more proper.
I found stuff online saying both. So as soon as someone can write in and definitely say one or the other, then
can people really tell the difference on radio whether or not senpai is spelled with an M or an N? I don't know. See, I just say senpai.
Well, if you enunciate,
yeah, senpai is the more. Okay. Well, okay. Because in Japanese, there's no M sound. It's N. So it would be se-n-pai.
Okay. There you go. Andrew's been taking Japanese classes online.
which you know, in the first place, I've been thinking, Dylan senpai is, like what, you're 2 days older than us? Why would we call you senpai?
Because I'm 2 days older than you. I'm like 2 days older and a couple minutes older than one of you.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. So this episode,
because they're twins.
Did we even finish?
I didn't even get to you guys yet.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. So, okay.
And the other guys, of course, as always, you know, my guests maybe are the the stupid awesome analyst, John, and the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello. All right. So this episode of the podcast.
They're okay, I guess.
Yeah. We're all right.
Hello, my show.
We're going to talk about psychologically disturbing moments for us personally in anime. This was requested by a fan.
Yeah, by Scott, who said, "I want to know what your most psychologically disturbing moments of watching anime are." And like the second he sent that email to me, one, I was like, that's an awesome topic. Two, I know exactly what I'm going to talk about.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, thank you for the topic, Scott. We're going to have some fun with this today.
Indeed.
So I guess it's time to ring news bell.
News.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've done this. We're trying to get back on the roll since, con month has ended.
Yeah. Yeah. For whoever listened to that, short half hour episode that we released last, couple weeks ago, where we, you know, part one and part two'd it with Evan from Boston Bass Brigade. That was a really weird episode. If you see get to see the uncut version of that, which will come out soon, I believe.
Yeah, it's, I'm working on the video version because I recorded it, and hopefully it will be out by the time this episode comes out. If not, there's a link in the description.
We just get bombarded by, like, security guards being like, what are you guys doing in here? What are you guys doing in here? Con's over, dude, get out.
Yeah, and then the janitors started rolling in. They wanted to clean our room.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, guys, sorry, I didn't know what's going on. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Did anyone get sick this year?
Yes. I did. Both Andrew and I did. I was sick during the weekend. Like, we were doing both of our panels, and
you can still kind of hear it in Jonathan's voice, the residual, and I'm going to be coughing.
Yeah, like, well, me too, because we both have respiratory infections, so which is great for radio.
Nerds are disgusting people.
Right? It's like, cons are a cesspool. We had a great time, though. It was a lot of fun, and
it was the best.
I would go to a con every weekend of my life if I could, and I would die at the end of 1 year because I'd be so tired.
Yeah, I had to call out of work sick. But I went into work the next day because I didn't want to be that guy who, like, came off of a 5-day vacation and be like, sorry, I'm not coming in.
I'm sick.
So I came into work. I went into work, like, floating around in my own head all day long because, you know, I was just like, I have a fever. I can't walk straight. Like, I was dizzy. And then the next day, I was just like, I'm sorry, I'm not coming in. And then Friday, I went back into work, and I felt even worse than I did on the day I took off.
Yeah.
It was great. And then I had to work Saturday.
So should we ring the news bell again?
News.
Okay, let's see if we can actually talk
second
about
second wave.
Yeah, see if we can
second
talk
gig
about it this time. Okay, so first up in media news, did you guys see the teaser trailer for The Boy and the Beast by Mamoru Hosoda's next film.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I saw.
No.
No, here's the thing. I was watching it on my phone, and my phone hates me, and it can't play media. Mm-hmm. So, like, I watched half of it, and then I was just like, this is so frustrating.
Yeah.
And I just, I wanted to.
It is. You want to see, you want to see Mamoru Hosoda in every aspect, and when it, your own technology denies you of that, it's probably one of the most frustrating moments in your entire life.
It was infuriating. Yeah. I wanted to watch Mamoru Hosoda so bad.
It looks so good. I mean, like, how can you not say it doesn't look good?
It looks
look
like one of his flicks.
Flicks. Films.
Films.
The flim is okidoki.
Flim is okidoki.
That's the Swedish chef.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know.
Muppets, yeah. But the movie looks awesome. I can't wait. I was actually on like such a high that day because both the Boy and the Beast trailer came out, and then right after that, Kickstarter members of Little Witch Academia 2, the trailer for that also came out. And oh my gosh, the animation. Seriously. Like the animation that Studio Trigger pumps out for their shorts are just so good. And I can't wait to see Little Witch Academia 2. For anybody who didn't see the first one, it's like Harry Potter, if Harry Potter was a Disney animated film. And it's so adorable, so cute, so well animated, it's totally worth the watch if you can find it.
Yeah, Trigger haters, I don't get you.
Yeah, right? Calling you out, Trigger haters.
Did you guys hear of this Hayao Miyazaki documentary? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, The Kingdom of Dreams and Madness.
Yeah, it looks great. I want to see it. I want to see Hayao Miyazaki be an angry old man. Like, everybody thinks he's just like, oh, Colonel Sanders looking mother effer. Like, like he must be so happy and he makes cartoons. And
he's not.
Yeah, he just seems, like, so upset by everything.
Yeah, which is kind of like the same way that Walt Disney was, if you think about it.
I guess so. But, like, he's such a tortured artist, it seems. That's yeah. Do you agree, Dylan, that, like, that's what the trailer kind of output was, just like, look at this poor tortured man making his wonderful movies.
I didn't really get that as much as just he's like sort of, you know, an older cynical type guy, because in the trailer he makes some sort of comment about the youth. I forget what the comment was, but I think that's sort of telling about his stance on the world.
Yeah. Well, he's most certainly outspoken about anime fans and otaku, how much he hates them.
How much he hates them.
Yeah. Well, more specifically to the people who make anime, because he says that it's so cheap and just filled with so much garbage, you know, with the moe stuff and everything like that.
Yeah, Hayao Miyazaki hates moe.
Yeah. Well, speaking of trailers, let's continue this trend of trailers. Did you guys see the teaser trailer for Boruto, the Naruto movie?
Yes.
No.
You okay. didn't, Dylan? No. Seriously? Oh my gosh.
Naruto.
I would have expected you
it's
to
been
see
a
it.
Big week for trailers in in other regards, so.
Okay, so
this is true.
The movie is Naruto Eats Burritos. No, just kidding. Boruto is his son, and they're making. I don't know if it's going to be one last film or if they're going to start up something new.
I hope they actually start up something new.
But it's the next generation of Naruto.
Boruto Uzumaki.
Yeah, it's all of the next generation kids. Yes. Boruto is the production of Naruto and Sakura.
No. Hinata.
Hinata.
Jeez.
Sorry. I'm getting my OTPs mixed up.
Well,
it's like that would be like a soap opera if that was the case.
Yeah. No, it's
you're right.
So the teaser trailer actually teased at the characters that are going to be in it, and you know, Naruto is the Hokage, which is awesome. And then it shows Boruto, and then it shows Sasuke, and then it shows Sasuke's daughter, which is pretty cool.
Which is
because Boruto likes Sasuke's daughter.
Yeah, which is hilariously awesome.
Yeah,
because it's like
they were rivals.
Yeah, but not only that, but like there was also like that little bit of tension between the whole relationship between Naruto and Sakura. But it's Sakura and Sasuke's child. So now it's like Sasuke, Naruto, Sakura, and Hinata. It's like they're all in Boruto, and I forget the girl's name.
Yeah.
But like it's like now it's like now they're in love, and so everybody is getting like their fan fiction like wonders like happening because like all those characters are being mashed together by these two children characters that are falling in love.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. But the trailer didn't show a lot. However, there was this one clip of Boruto. He had one speaking line in it. And well, the animation...
did he say believe it?
No, he didn't. What did he say? I don't think I have the article still open.
I don't feel like I'm going to lose.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm going to lose.
Which is pretty cool.
What a hero. You know, he's not over cocky like Naruto was, but he's like, I don't feel like I'm going to lose. Anyways, the scene was really well animated.
Yes, it's like, really well
like
animated.
Like, the lip sync was perfect, and you rarely ever see that. There was you know, good over, like, some good overlap. And
oh, there we go. Sarada Uchiha.
Yeah.
Her name is Sarada.
Oh, is she, like, the nerdy glasses girl?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she's adorable.
That's so moe.
Like, well, I feel like all the new children characters are going to be adorable. Like, that's, like, their aim.
Well, it's because they've been looking forward to that. Like fans have been looking forward to that, you know?
Sasuke's gut is, like...
There have been so many fan fictions.
Is seeing like, him over.
Waiting for this moment their entire lives, you know? And now it has come to reality, and they're all probably hating on it because they're like, that is not how their children would look.
No, I'm so in love with this idea. Like, I am so
I love it too. But
it'd be crazy if they did do it, like, Boruto became the next thing in, like, the Shonen Jump anime, so they just kept going with that.
See, I'm actually, I would jump on the series.
Jump on the series.
So, no. because I'm totally out of, like, I'm way too far behind to even, like, think about doing Naruto. I was thinking about, you know, maybe reading the manga for Shippuden, like, the way you did, Dylan, and just, like, reading all of that. But if a Boruto series just starts, I'm just gonna watch Boruto. Like, you know, like, just jump on there. Whatever. I know enough about it to watch it.
There's ninjas.
Yeah, oh. So many cool ninjas. I love ninjas.
Next up, I have something that I've added to my bucket list about going to Japan. Okay, so Fukushima has opened up a Gainax museum.
Yeah.
Like, what?
right in the middle of the radiation.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. Isn't that where the reactor exploded or something?
It's melting down.
It's getting there.
It's getting there. It's leaking gross fluid. That is what we know, is leaking gross fluid.
Yeah, but no, I heard that the reason why the studio opened, or the museum opened for the studio, was because it was clean now.
Nope.
No?
That's a cover story. Absolutely a cover story.
John just goes to Japan, he comes back with a third hand.
Yeah, I'm glowing.
Now the thing is, it is really split because there's like that whole controversy between... people, like, conspiracy theorists being like, oh, the ocean! It's disgusting and contaminated! And then there's the people who are like, no, it's clean. Don't worry, it's clean. But there's, like, still fluid leaking out. you know, and there's stories popping up being like, it's worse than we thought, guys. But
yeah, I know.
That's but enough. So there's really no, like, exact determination. Like, I really do not want anything to do with those conspiracy theorists who are just like, it's awful! It's the end of the world! Fukushima, mer. I don't want anything to do with them, but I don't really believe the whole, it's okay, it's clean.
We'll go to Japan, we'll go to Fukushima in radiation suits, and we'll, you know, go through there, and it's like, oh no, it's cosplay. You know?
Yeah.
But I want to go to the Gainax Museum, because I bet you they have really awesome animation cells on display, because that's how they used to do things at Gainax, and all this cool stuff. Like, the history of the studio. Because it's really interesting. Gainax is a studio of fanboys. Like, that's how Gainax started.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see a museum of professional fanboys. You know, because I'm pretty sure that they gush about their own stuff. Because they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing what we've made. I'm so proud of it.
Technically, you know? I'm a professional fanboy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody is a fanboy of what they love to do, right?
I just found an article that says Fukushima Rice passes radiation tests for first time since 2011.
There you go.
Good news.
Yeah.
See, there we go, a surprise news story.
That's actually a really interesting thing, though, because have they just been completely not harvesting rice in Fukushima? Like, there's just been these rice fields that they've been leaving alone, or have there been people working there?
I would suspect that they would have to do at least a little bit to do these tests so they could, I guess, grow the rice and then test to see if it's, you know, contaminated with radiation.
Yeah. Could you imagine what a rice recall would look like in Japan? Wow. Wow.
Only the rice with the little something or another logo on it needs to be recalled. You got to sift through
green,
all your rice.
The green glowing rice.
Yeah.
Don't eat the yellow rice.
They stamp all the rice.
Don't eat the rice. Stamp all
with,
the rice,
with the logos.
Awesome. We are so brilliant.
We are hilarious. Thanks for listening.
That should be the new sign-off.
Yeah. Okay, so next up in media news, there was an announcement of a new Devilman series.
Yes, and that's all we really need to say about that.
Yeah.
We're excited.
We'll be watching. I hope it's as gory as the OVAs. I hope it's not like the anime itself.
Yeah, the anime is bad.
It's garbage.
Bad news bears. But I do hope Gonagai Studio is still behind it. I don't know if Gonagai is still doing anime and manga. Like, I don't know if he's past his prime, like, you know, like a Miyazaki kind of a deal. But if Gonagai still has his, like, his hands in it somehow, that would be so cool.
Yeah, well, he'll probably be a consultant. You know how they usually do that? They consult when they're...
Yeah, well, he better, because it's his series.
Yeah, right?
And Devilman is awesome.
There's gonna be, there better be some sweet sideburns.
Yes, there's gonna be sideburns everywhere.
That joke, it never gets old.
I have Gonagai sideburns. Proud
of those sideburns.
So Chappie is finally being released in Japan.
Yeah.
Now the crazy thing behind this is not even Blomkamp knew about this, but apparently the Japanese rating whatevers are cutting down and redubbing Chappie so that it's PG-12.
Wow.
Which is like our PG rating here in the United States, because they want everybody to see it. But now everybody's just like, I'm not even going to go see that movie anymore because you're cutting everything out.
That's really weird. Well, that's really weird too, because there's not a lot in Chappie to begin with that made it rated R. Yeah. I mean, so who cares if they don't curse?
Yeah, see, like, you can redub it so that they don't curse, but, like, there's, like, one scene in the beginning where a guy gets blown up, and then one scene at the end where a guy gets torn in half.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen Chappie?
No.
Oh.
You haven't seen Chappie?
No.
I thought you liked
Blomkamp.
Blomkamp, yeah.
I did, but I got less excited about Chappie because it was getting pretty bad reviews from critics, and a lot of people thought it was his worst movie.
So it wasn't great. it was good though, and it was really weird because it's
there were so many good ideas in the movie,
yeah,
but he didn't follow through on the best ones.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Sort of what I heard when I started to hear more about what the story was about. That also turned me off.
Yeah, it's really kind of weird.
See, I think Japan would really like Chappie. That's my thing, is that I think that it's more geared towards them.
It does seem that way. Because it kind of goes in the direction that their movies go in.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why they would need to cut it down. Because, like, a lot of their... It's not like Australia or... I don't know if Australia is like this, but one of the countries that really, really hates violence.
Yeah,
and like Japan's not like that, so I don't know why they would need to cut it down.
Yeah, well, actually, they're against human violence. If you notice, there's not a lot of movies that come out of Japan that are human versus human violence. They're usually mutants or they're usually aliens. That's a thing, and a lot of this is robots taking down humans, taking down other humans.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between other stuff in Japan. But, I mean, when you get other cultural stuff, when we got Stephen Chow movies and they cut them out because they were like, Stephen Chow's too weird for America, you know? And then everybody went out and seek the Chinese version because they were like, no, I want to see the original. I want to see the musical.
That's exactly what they said was, like, once the DVDs get released, there's going to be a lot of imports.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Happening to Japan.
Yeah, China.
No.
Oh, no, Japan, in the Chappie article. I was talking about Stephen Chow, I messed that up. All right, let's move on to the next thing.
Okay, so finally, for media news, what I have is there's an onsen in Nagano that is going to allow foreigners with tattoos, as long as they patch them up. Do you not know about this?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, so in Japan, it's a thing that if you have tattoos, you are not allowed to go into onsens. Or Japanese public baths.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, only if you're foreign or if you're Japanese too?
Anybody with tattoos.
I wonder if that's like a Yakuza thing.
It is. Yeah. It's tied to the Yakuza. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
That would be my idea.
So it follows an old tradition where if you have tattoos, it's related to Yakuza activity and everything like that. But I don't know many foreigners personally that are part of the Yakuza. So...
Oh, you never know.
Yeah. So this is that's the whole issue behind it, is if you have tattoos, you're not allowed at all, even if you're a foreigner. They're, now, in Nagano, because of the upcoming 2020 Olympics, there's going to be foreigners everywhere.
Yeah.
And foreigners everywhere have tattoos.
How do you cover up a tattoo and then get in water?
It's a like a new kind of waterproof sticker kind of a thing. Like, it's a patch. Like, you put a like a water, like a Band-Aid almost.
Yeah.
And you just patch it over the your skin, and then you can go into the bath. Now, if you have, like, a sleeve, or if you have
you get a lot of Band-Aids. I really hurt my arm.
They say, sorry, you're out of luck.
You're kidding
like,
me.
Like, it can only be a small tattoo that you can cover up with, wow. With this, like, sticker Band-Aid.
That is so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't know about that. Yeah, it's a very, like, common thing in Japan that,
I guess
you have a tattoo, forget about it.
I guess that's easy to assume, but, yeah, I never knew about that.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
So, yeah, Nagano. Nagano is allowing, or there's this one place that if you have a tattoo, you can patch it up. Go to the onsen. It's all for the 2020 Olympics.
Well, if you do have tattoos, you get to go to the fun bathhouses with the Yakuza.
Exactly, yeah. And sit in those steam rooms, you know, like, can I chill with you guys? Can I chill with you guys?
Just imagine, like, you're in there with a bunch of Yakuza gangsters, like, oh, it's like a sauna in here.
So let's move on to some gaming news. I only brought one story, which I think that you have, too.
I do, and I feel like it's more appropriate if I talk about it.
Fine.
Because it does involve Monster Hunter.
Surprise.
So, if you guys didn't see, hear the news, it's been a couple weeks now, but there's a trailer that got released in Japan for Monster Hunter Stories, which is like a cutesy Monster Hunter version.
Woo!
of, like, an RPG-esque thing where, I think Fantasy Life... Or at least the way that they presented it was a lot like Fantasy Life, which is a game that came out for
the
3DS. And it's an RPG-style game where, you know, you still do monster hunting, but it's more in a cutesy vibe aesthetic, which looks really, really cool. So I'm still hoping you get to create your own character, do all the monster hunting things. But you can also catch monsters and use them as pets. So you can, like, ride Rathians and have, like, a Rathian pet. And I'm really hoping that you can either get, like, an Azuros or a Arzuros or a Narukuga. That'd be awesome if I had, like, my own little Narukuga pet.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
Shout out to all you fan who play Monster Hunter with us.
Yeah, that's gonna come up again real soon. I'll mention it at the end of the thing.
Cool.
That's Monster Hunter Stories.
It's an RPG, right?
It's supposedly. That's what they're pitched as.
So maybe you have to catch monsters to fight other monsters.
Like Monster Hunter Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that'd be sweet! I'm on board.
So, next up, there was a trailer released. Actually, it was released before we left for Anime Boston, but the trailer is now released for the new Fire Emblem game.
Oh, yeah.
And it presents that you can choose your own path. Essentially, you are born of one society and raised by another society, and these two societies are at war with each other, which essentially means, holy crap, this is gonna be an awesome game with major replayability. And
because you're gonna have to choose as the player, you're gonna have to choose what side you want to fight for, and I'm pretty sure that you're gonna make friends on both sides.
Yeah, my life is ruined once this game comes out.
That is going to be heart-wrenching.
Yeah, if it
works out the same way that all the other Fire Emblem games do, you're gonna have to kill one of your waifus in battle.
Yes. Can you imagine? Like, what?
I can't.
I mean, Fire Emblem is like ultimate waifu simulator.
Yeah.
And can you imagine? Like,
I am not ready.
You should make a game called that. Ultimate waifu simulator.
I should. But it'll have to be like really fun, like mechanically solid, like Fire Emblem. Like, if you did that, oh, it'd be so good. It'd be such a good game. So that's great. There is a rumor spreading. I haven't seen anything about it to confirm this, but there's a rumor spreading that it's going to be released on two different versions of the game, like two different cartridges.
Which would really, be, like red and blue?
Yeah,
like Pokemon red and blue?
Which would be super lame. If that's a real thing, that's really lame, because the whole idea is you're supposed to choose like throughout the gameplay, not choose throughout your cartridge. That would be stupid. That's just a rumor, though.
Yeah.
So it's not confirmed.
I don't think they'll do that. They're way smarter than that.
But if anybody has any information on that, please tell us.
Pass it along.
What else you got? A couple more stories. There's a new collab game. You know how fighting games, there's a trend now where you mash up a whole bunch of animes together with a bunch of different anime girls.
Yeah, Waifu Simulator.
Yeah, another Waifu Fighting Simulator. So the one that's most famous is Fighting Climax that had Kirino from Oreimo and Asuna from Sword Art Online. Well, this one's called Nitro Plus Blasters, and it has characters, playable characters, from not too many games that are familiar, but you have Fate Stay Night, Carnival, the Cyber Slayer, and one that I'm kind of familiar with, which is Full Metal Demon Marumasa. I'm familiar with the character from that because she's a hot dark skin chick. So
that's so my fetish.
Yeah, so that's why I know about it. But there are again, same thing as Fighting Climax. You can choose a partner character that will choose your assists.
Yeah.
And one of them is Amy from Gargantua of the Virtuous Planet. And that's what caught my eye, next to Demon Masamura. So I already Muramasa. So I already have my team if this comes out in the West, which is I'd play as the Full Metal Demon, and then my assist character would be Amy from Gargantua. It's probably like the worst team up ever, but I don't care. I'd play it.
Wait, there's a Akane from Psycho Pass.
Yep, Psycho Pass is one of the games featured in there. All the characters are female as well. It's an all female fighting game.
I'm shocked.
From like Arcana Heart and stuff like that.
I am completely shocked.
So that's cool. Keep your eyes peeled for that, guys.
Yeah, it'll probably come out on the PlayStation Network like the other one did.
Yep. Next up, we have a release date for J-Stars Victory Plus, which is the North American and European release. Which is June.
Okay.
June we have our fighting simulator of Kenshiro and JoJo.
Cool.
That is, yes, it's going to be so awesome. Wow, over 50 characters in 30 series. So that's going to be fun. Finally, for gaming news, we have a release date, which I believe is May, for the Attack on Titan game for the 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is going to be a Nintendo 3DS exclusive. eShop exclusive. You can only download it off the eShop.
Oh, so it's probably going to take up all the memory.
Yeah, but and it has online multiplayer capabilities. Cool. So you can play four-player co-op. So, Monster Hunter Weekend, maybe we'll go...
Attack on Titan
hunting, maybe. That might be kind of cool. You can play with Titans. You can play as, Eren Jaeger and female Titan and duke it out that way. And another thing that I found out...
That's going to be like Fight Night.
Yeah, right.
Could you imagine, like, boxing game Fight Night, except you smash buildings like a kaiju big battle sort of thing?
And finally, one of the things that really got me excited, which I did not know about, is you get to create your own character. So... You getting to create your own character, you're not creating a fodder character, you're creating a character that's going to survive and going to be as cool as Mikasa or Eren or something like that.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But anyway, that was the coolest thing ever. It's like, oh, you get to create your own Titan Slayer. This is so cool.
Because if you recall in Attack on Titan, every character had a name and a backstory, and then they still end up dying anyways.
Yeah, it's like Sons of Anarchy, the game.
Or Star Wars.
Or the anime. So that's it. Move on to some strange news, which I have a transition story.
You have a transition right into strange news?
Yes, I do.
I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, so we were just talking about Attack on Titan. So who's familiar with the Asylum? Raise your hand.
Oh, yeah, like they did Atlantic Rim and Paranormal Entity.
And Transmorphers.
Oh, Transmorphers.
Dylan, you know what we're talking about, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
One of the greatest film houses of all time.
So, who remembers Mega Shark versus Giant Squid?
Yeah.
Yes.
On the...
Only everyone?
Yeah.
On the Sci-Fi Network?
That's right. So, there's a new Mega Shark movie, and it's Mega Shark versus the Colossus, and guess what the Colossus looks like?
Titan. Is he a giant muscle man?
He looks like the Colossal Titan.
That is so stupid.
Yeah, it's wonderful. He looks exactly like the Colossal Titan. So, like, now there's a Mega Shark versus Attack on Titan. It's just... It's beautiful.
Is there, a trailer or something for it?
What is that?
I'm trying to Google a photo.
Oh, my... Rocket News. If you go to Rocket News, they have an entire... that one says Mega Shark versus Great Titan.
That's the Japanese title for it.
He looks like an action figure with a laser beam.
A robot.
I keep finding Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus.
Colossus with a K.
Oh, with a K?
Yeah. I want to see this.
He's a robot.
Yeah, he is a robot, but he's muscly. So, thank you, Asylum, for making just terrible movies.
Wow.
Like, just making the worst
movies. We will continue to watch them.
And finally, at least finally for me,
I have some strange news stories.
All right, so I
guess
really
we all do.
Where there's a Japanese restaurant, the one famous for making the 30 burger, the 30 patty one.
Yeah.
Well,
the 10 meter burger.
Well, get ready for this. Get ready for this. A no burger burger.
What?
Yes. It's like, it's called.
It's called bread.
It's called a no shrimp burger. So it is a bun with lettuce and tartar, and that's it.
Oh, that is God. Disgusting.
And
that's like a college kid sandwich.
Yeah, seriously.
So yeah. So this is an actual burger. They're calling it a burger, but it doesn't have any meat in it.
Oh my gosh. And
it seems like it's all condiments too.
Yeah.
What are we American? What, like, did American come up with this design? It's like, I have a great, like, some CEO somewhere. I have a great idea, guys.
Now it's only 210 yen, which is about $2 American, which is still kind of expensive for a sandwich.
Buy a piece of bread with lettuce in it.
Yeah, with
you could buy like 8 buns for that.
Doesn't even have to be on sale.
What it's promoting is the fact that they're getting a sandwich that has a shrimp burger in it. So the shrimp burger is not available, but it's like this weird promotional scheme.
It's like you're pre-ordering the shrimp burger. You get the bun and the lettuce first, and then
It's super weird, and here's the weirder thing. It's working.
You're kidding me.
People are buying this stupid sandwich with no shrimp in it, the no shrimp burger.
The shrimp burger will be DLC.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, people are buying it.
Did Capcom design this burger?
No, it was Kevin Costner, and they were like, if you build the bun, they will come.
Yeah.
Maybe they just really like lettuce and tartar.
Yeah.
So the sandwich chain is called Lotterias.
Yeah, Lotterias. They're the ones who came up with the Titan Burger.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they come up with just weird burgers.
They ran out of meat.
They used it all up.
After selling their crazy burgers, they just ran out of meat, and they're like, hey,
I don't
guys.
Think anybody's ordered a 30 stack shrimp burger, though.
I would.
Oh, I would, too. Like, shrimp burger sounds amazing.
I don't know about that.
Surf and surf.
It sounds better than just a bun with lettuce and tartar.
That's true.
No, it absolutely does.
Oh, man.
So that's what I have for strange news.
All right, Dylan, which one of us wants to go first? Which one can bet we have the stranger news?
Well, you already sort of know a little bit about mine.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay,
so you have the upper hand.
I have something from China, and I have something about harems.
Well, I want to hear what your China news is.
Okay.
We can trade China news, and then you can do the other one.
So the city Airshan, China, has experienced an end-of-the-world phenomenon. They have gotten blood red skies and mud rain. Okay, the pictures the pictures online look like they're photoshopped. Look like somebody put a red filter over this city, and it looks so scary, like serious end of the world stuff right here. The skies are completely pure red, and it rained mud. And people were saying that it was like, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. Like, the world's gonna end. But what the phenomenon actually was there was a dust storm. It was this weird dust storm that happened that filled the sky, and it was so thick that it actually turned the sky red. And then it when, you know, the accumulation happened and it started raining, the rain hit the dust and it rained mud from the sky, which is just like, Like people were losing their minds over this. And
I would, too.
I would, too. Yeah, of course. It's so completely understandable. But, I mean, it's just a weird phenomenon that happened. But people thought they were going to die. People thought they were going to see Cthulhu. People thought that Cthulhu was going to rise up in Arshan, China, and just completely end the world.
And China explodes.
And then it exploded.
Oh, wait, but that wasn't Cthulhu. Yeah. That was just China.
So that was my first piece. Dylan, do you want to go next?
Yeah. So Apparently this was popular before, but I've never heard of this. But people are hiring strippers for funerals.
What?
In China.
You're kidding me.
Tell me more.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually, once you hear the logic behind it, it makes a little bit more sense. But it says that the local people believe that more people gathered at a funeral, the more luck it will bring your family and offspring. Yeah. So basically, people are trying to spiff up their funerals so they can have more people come. So in turn, they'll have more luck and stuff
Wow.
like that.
That's amazing. But what? So it doesn't matter what the type of person is. Like, it's just like, yeah, I got a whole bunch of perverts at my my grandfather's funeral.
Check out these strippers. Bye, Grandma.
Yeah, I guess. I just imagine, like, they finish the eulogy, and it's like, and he will always be remembered. And now welcome to the stage, Candy! Yeah.
And then she pops out of the coffin, and she's... Oh, my gosh. Dude, I mean...
Apparently, this is far more common in Taiwan, because as I was looking for this particular article, I kept seeing articles about this in Taiwan, so I guess it's far more common there.
That's so bizarre. That is, like, I can't even imagine. Like, that's just... And that's, like, normal to just be like, yeah, strippers, more people.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Start bringing your singles to funerals. Lastly, in strange news, I have a story that a harem has come to life. There is an all-girls school somewhere in Japan. It's called Sururoka Kita High School. It is an all-female school that has just become co-ed. And there is only one male applicant thus far.
Wow. That is, wow. Like, seriously, Manga Gamer just released Princess Evangeline, and that's the story.
And that's the story of it, yes. And it is happening in real life right now. However, all the girls are welcoming him. He was the first, like, his first, you know, entrance into the school was at the opening ceremonies. They introduced him. Like, this is the first male to ever come to the school, and he got a standing ovation from all the females. It's the easiest harem ever lived. Wow.
Dead serious? That bastard.
Yeah, like, right?
I want to hurt him.
Yeah.
So bad.
Seriously. I mean, there was a story that I saw online that there was a all-male school that they were so lonely and desperate that they took their curtains, tied them together to make it in the shape of a bra.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
And could you imagine what it's like at an all-female school? I mean, like, you can imagine that there's some like, you know, need for love. I mean, when the ratio is down, you kind of miss, you know, the companionship of somebody else.
Yeah, he's gonna be busy.
Yeah, it's gonna be a I mean, it has come to life. We have finally seen, like, where Japan gets all their influence from. They're like, what are you talking about? Our stories aren't crazy. They actually happen. They're all based on truth, and it is proven to us in this news story.
That's amazing. Like, I would totally apply to an all-female school if it
meant that. Yeah.
Especially a Japanese all-female school. Those girls like you.
Just wait until just one other guy shows up and they're like rivals.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I think that's exactly what would happen.
Oh no, he's slightly more attractive
than
me.
Yeah, a few episodes in, right, as he's like honing in on the girl he really likes, this new dude shows up.
Yeah, but we got. I guess, you know, this in America, a reality show would come out of this.
Yeah,
and then they would.
And it would be the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah.
yes.
That's as strange as it gets.
That is as strange as it gets.
All right, but so we're gonna move on to the next segment of the show. That's it for news, and it's time to what?
No, go ahead.
What's happening?
It's time for our fetish of the week.
Put it in afterwards.
It is in post, but it, you know, the feeling comes through when we play it live on the show. Plus, it's a good marker.
I just love that every time I can hear Andrew hitting the volume button.
It's like, oh, my computer's down.
I'm never prepared.
Yeah.
I'm never prepared.
Okay. The show that we were talking about, we're going to talk about this in What We're Watching. The new show that came out this season...
We might actually not have to talk about it in What We're Watching, because we're probably talking about it right now.
You're probably right. New show that came out in this new season of anime called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon or something?
Yeah, that's correct. The short Japanese one, you know how they shorten all their long titles, is Danmachi.
Danmachi, so
That's easy enough.
Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? And from that title alone, I expected it to be a really awesome comedy. But when I watched the show, it really wasn't. It's kind of serious at times. What the show is about...
It is a comedy, but it is...
Yeah, it is, but it kind of has its serious moments. What the show is about is the gods of... Like they pulled all the gods from Norse and Roman and Greek mythology, and they took each one And the gods choose specific people of Earth to become their heroes.
Actually, I think that they're the people choose who they're going to contract to.
Okay, so if you want to become
It's called Familia, is what Familia. Familia.
And if you want to contract, you become like a dungeon crawler, and you gain experience. And
yeah,
stuff
you actually
like
gain experience levels.
And levels, and your god or goddess. You know, kind of
like upgrades you, yeah. Like upgrades your skills, and you actually gain new skills. That it's weird. It's like it's literally an RPG, but in real life.
Yeah. So the main character named Belle, who is a total complete wimp, and he's a really uninteresting main character.
Yeah. See, I hate it. Again, we talked about this in an episode a long time ago, especially when Akame ga Kill was coming out. Is I hate like the main character shonen characters that are like wimpy and like little kids. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I want a manlier main character.
But why is this a fetish of the week? Now, his goddess,
yes,
Hestia, has been making major waves across the internet. Like, unbelievable explosion overnight. This anime girl is bigger than Hatsune Miku right now.
Yes.
Like, unbelievable. And she is our fetish of the week. It's more specifically her costume. So she's this little petite, like, 5-foot girl with double D breasts, and...
Surprise!
Yeah, she's got twin tails, she's adorable, she's cute, she's nice, she likes the main character, Belle, and her costume is not really the most wholesome it's almost just like a cloth.
Yeah, it's like a tattered cloth that she's wearing.
Almost like an apron. It's almost kind of feeds on the wearing nothing but an apron fetish.
Yeah.
But she's got this also really weird accessory with it too, that's a blue ribbon that's tied to both of her arms, and it goes underneath her cleavage to kind of prop it up. And that's kind of where the fetish comes in, is this ribbon.
Yeah, so everybody's going nuts over this boob ribbon.
Yeah.
And they're actually, Akihabara in Japan is doing a free giveaway for fostering international relationships by giving away free boob ribbons.
No way. To prop up your cleavage.
That's right.
I need to get one of these for myself so that I can, I can look more presentable.
So the name that they're giving it is Rei no Himo, or The String, is what they call it.
It's like a Wonder Bra thing going on there.
Yeah, and,
made me wonder.
You guys have to check out Hestia. She's just all over the internet. If you guys haven't seen her anywhere, I'm shocked.
The other thing that they're doing is they're taking other characters and they're putting her in the costume. So they're taking other characters. Like, I've even seen Ruby fan art of them putting in this costume. And the funny thing that they've been doing with it is they've been making these little short comics of, like, flat-chested A-cup characters wearing the ribbon. And they have one panel of the character putting on the ribbon. And then the second panel is the ribbon falling to the floor, because they have nothing to prop it up with.
Yeah,
and that's been a meme.
Yeah. You know,
so they've been taking characters from. I've seen Shirobako. I've seen Ruby, which is American, and I've seen actual cosplayers on the internet dressed as this character now, and like my goodness, they're adorable.
I just want to mention that the boob ribbon is only half of this fetish of the week, because the character herself.
It's making waves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Like, there's fan art of her everywhere.
You cannot believe the hentai that's coming up on Tumblr. Oh, my goodness. it's filthy. It's horrible.
Welcome to Tumblr.
Welcome to Tumblr.
Yeah, it's the garbage pail of the internet.
Yeah, it's the garbage dump of the internet.
Wickedanime.tumblr.com.
Yes, that's right. Everybody needs to check out Don Machi. The anime Don Machi, just to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you can find it on Crunchyroll. It's actually free on Crunchyroll right now.
It is free on Crunchyroll. Even if you don't like Don Machi, I do. I've been watching it. Yeah. I've been liking it, so I keep watching it this season. But
see, I'm not a fan of Hestia, really.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I get that she's cute, but like, but she's not resonating with me in the same way that the internet is seeing.
I don't know. All it needs to be is cute, and I'm roped in.
Yeah. Well, I see that
you're
she's
ribboned
cute,
in.
But you're ribboned in. Yeah. There you go.
Wah wah.
Is there anything else that you had, like, a figure or something like that?
Yes, that's right. Kind of going along the lines of this character's popularity, and the explosive, like, holy crap. The upcoming lottery in Japan includes a Hestia figure.
This show has been out for, like, 3 weeks. in Japan, like even in Japan, it started like 3 weeks ago, and this character is it blows my mind. Okay, so yeah, everybody, boob ribbons, and that was our fetish of the week.
Pop, 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 pop.
Boom. Okay, so I have something a little bit of an offshoot. We did this once before. Let's statistics, people. So I found this. Actually, it actually came from USA Today. A survey. They polled Japanese people as to what they think of Americans and Americans' views of Japanese in the same. And they just took like just qualities of American people and Japanese people, and then they compared the two side by side. So the categories we have are: how hardworking are the American or Japanese people? How inventive are they? How honest are they? Intolerant, aggressive, and selfish. Now, I want to poll you guys. Andrew, don't look.
Okay.
I guess I got the survey up here. What do you think the Japanese thought the least of us in? What is the lowest percentile did they think out of hardworking, inventive, honest, intolerant, aggressive, and selfish? What do you think our lowest percentile is? They said Americans are not like that.
Oh, not like that.
Yeah.
Inventive?
I want to say aggressive. No.
No, that's what no. I was going to say. Yeah, aggressive probably is the most.
So I would probably say inventive.
That's what I said.
Well.
Inventive? Yeah. Actually, you'll be quite surprised. Inventive was the highest.
Really?
Yes. Actually, well, Japan thinks that, like, out of everything in that category, Japan thinks that we are the most inventive.
Interesting.
Yes. Actually, they think that we are, only 25% of Japan thinks that Americans are hardworking.
So that's the lowest one? I was either going to say inventive or hardworking.
That's a pretty low number.
It's kind of accurate.
Yeah, it's kind of accurate. I'll admit, you know, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, compared to the
you got to work real hard for that welfare here, though.
Yeah, you do. that's right.
But anyways, inventive was one of the highest. 67% of Japanese people thought that we were inventive. And on the other hand, Americans think that 75% of Japanese are
inventive.
Like 75% of Americans said that. That, yeah, Japanese are inventive, which is no surprise to me at all.
Yeah.
However, America, 94% of Americans said that Japan's were hardworking.
That's true.
Yeah, so,
they never take vacations.
Yeah.
They kill themselves by not taking vacations.
It's unbelievable. What do you think Americans thought the lowest percentile was for...
Actually, intolerant would be the highest because of one of the most xenophobic...
hardworking, inventive, honest, intolerant, aggressive, and selfish.
For Japan, which would be their, like,
the
weak
lowest
point.
What do you think Americans voted the lowest?
Selfish.
Say the answers one more time.
Holy crap. Hardworking, inventive, honest, intolerant, aggressive, selfish. The lowest percentile. Taking too long. It's selfish. Yeah. Americans think that Japan is not selfish at all, at 19%.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, Andrew, you were saying intolerant. Actually, Americans think that only 36% of Americans said that Japan was intolerant.
Huh.
And on the opposite side, Japan, only 29% of Japanese said that Americans were intolerant. So, actually, that was one of our lowest percentages for good things. Really interesting survey. I'll put it in the description.
And you can make more sense out of it when you look at it.
when you see the chart, I don't know. Yeah. Hey, listen, in editing, it's going to sound great, okay?
Well, you know, I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah, I'm a master of my craft, Dylan, all right? Master of my craft. So it's time to move on to what we're watching. And we've got a lot that we're watching. We'll try to keep it as short as possible. We've got a lot that we've been watching ever since the new season of anime has started.
Yeah, I'm watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I'm actually going to open up my Crunchyroll queue to figure out exactly what it is that I've been watching, because there's a lot.
I haven't been watching that much this season. I've been watching Danmachi, mostly. I'm still watching JoJo. Surprise. am watching...
You know, there's the short anime, the second season of I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that I was going to bring... pretty much going to bring up.
That one's cute.
It is... It's good. I actually... so far, season two is more coherent than season one was.
Yeah, yeah. It kind of makes a little more sense. Season one, they did 3-minute shorts of just random things.
Yeah, they really rushed through it as well.
And now there's a story, which is great. And for the new shows that I've been watching, also watching Food Wars. Yeah. Food Wars is a food porn. If anybody likes cooking or anything like that, the food in it is amazing, and they actually go through recipes and cooking styles with you. I have friends on Facebook that have actually made things that they make in the show. And okay, so it's about this kid who's a commoner who goes to a really, really high class, prestigious. It's almost like if Dragon Ball Z was a cooking show. Seriously, they put so much intensity into cooking challenges and stuff like that. It's so awesome. But they do this really weird thing where, like, every time a character eats really good food, they orgasm.
Oh, that's
kind of weird. So, like, they do this, like, no clothes thing when they take a bite of food, and then they're like, oh, it's so amazing, and they're not wearing any clothes or anything like that. So this really weird fan service arises from it. Like,
I'll say.
Like, there was, in the second episode, the main antagonist who, gonna turn to a love interest, obviously, because she's, like, super cute and everything. She's a really young chef who's, like, this prodigy. She's got the most amazing taste palette. Like, her first words were that tastes bland, when she was, like, 1 year old. But, like, the main character, you know, he's having a test to get into the school, and he makes, like, an egg dish. She eats it, and she doesn't want to admit it's good, but, like, her fantasy is, like, she's wearing this loincloth, and she's floating on clouds, and these angels, like, these little baby cherubs that have the faces of the main character coming up with tickling her with feathers. It's, like, so weird, but it's a really good show. It's really funny.
That is really weird.
Dragon Ball Z if it was Iron Chef. That's what I need to explain to you. It's really good. You should check it out. Punchline, which is weird because it focuses on these main things that are really tropey in Japan. Like, this guy, he gets superpowers every time he sees a girl's pair of panties. But if he sees a girl's pair of panties when he's superpowered, the earth gets destroyed. What? Okay. So there's... And it hasn't really explained much because there's only been 2 episodes since I watched it. And episode 3 will obviously be out by the time this episode airs.
Yeah, episode 4 will be out by then.
Probably. And he kills himself the first... When he was alive, he kills himself because he gets superpowered, and then he destroys the Earth. And he turns into a ghost. And then every time he sees panties after he's a ghost, he destroys the Earth. It's about this he lives in this complex. There's a ghost whisperer in the complex, a superhero, and then a genius and a neat. And it's their lives together where this ghost guy is trying not to destroy the Earth by seeing their panties because they're all females. Surprise!
Of course.
It's actually really good. The animation's really good, and I like it. Gunslinger Stratos is like this...
Oh, man, you're really watching a lot.
I am watching a lot. I always watch a lot when the new seasons come out. I'm like the new anime guy. Gunslinger Stratos, I only saw the first episode. I didn't really like it very much. It's kind of cliche. It's weird. But it's like a tournament-based thing where there's a whole lot of gun shooting and stuff like that. So if you like action animes where there's gun shooting and stuff like that, tournament-style ones like Batum, I really like that one. Gunslinger Stratos is a good version of that. Lastly, Triage X, which I think we talked about when we were talking about the main... when the season was first starting up.
Yeah.
Do they pronounce it Triage in the show?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Because that's how I always thought it was pronounced, but before it came out, I had seen people pronouncing it Triage or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's Triage.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Triage X, it's done by the same person who did High School of the Dead. And
the anime or the manga?
Both, I think.
Okay.
But, like,
the anime is trash.
The art style is the same. You know, they got, like, those missile boobs.
Yeah.
And those really elongated faces with the sharp eyes. Now, the show is awesome. It's really good. It's actually one of probably my favorites this season.
That's stunning to me.
Beyond the fan service. Because there are just, like, so many parts where it's like, okay, the main character is monologuing. And I described it as, it's the most anime I've seen in a while. Yeah. The main character, he's so dark and brooding. And yeah. He's, you know, and he's a dark character. And he's dark and dark.
Yeah.
And
his name is Darsuke.
Yeah. Yeah. He... he wants to figure out whether or not humans are compassionate, and he's a part of this group called Triage X, and they are a vigilante group that wipes the lesions off of, you know, the skin of Japan, you know, of the earth, you know. So they basically go around and
they just kill people.
Yeah, they kill mob bosses who have quote unquote black labeled Triage, you know, or black label X, you know, whatever it is. It's kind of like a hodgepodge of the title, but like, so it's really cool. But everybody has like these K cup breasts in it, you know, not K cups as in the small things, like K cup as in the
like coffee.
Yeah, not like the coffee cups, because those would be really small, and that's not what the show's about. No, it's about, like, okay, let's F cup breasts, you know, that's more sense, and they're like missile shaped because that's what the animator likes to do. But like, there's these weird moments where like the main character will be dark brooding and giving this monologue, and it'll just show the breasts. So like while he's talking, here, look at these missile boobs. You know, it's so weird.
Thank you, show.
But the female characters in the show are actually really interesting. They're beyond their character designs. I really like them.
Yeah,
they're all interesting. Some of them are a little cliche, but they actually have some depth to them, and they're really interesting. Triage X, check it out. I really like it. If you can get past the fan service, which I think I can, you'll probably really like the show. Dylan, what do you think? You read the manga, right?
I read some of the manga just to find out what it was about.
Was my description accurate based on the anime compared to the show?
No, it was accurate. I just am. I don't know if I liked it as much as you did. I'll try and watch the TV show to see if I like it more.
I only gave it 2 episodes before I figured out that I liked it. So, you know, 2 episodes, only 44 minutes, not so bad.
Yeah, I wasn't super entertained reading the manga, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it will have the opposite effect of High School of the Dead, where the anime was trash but the manga was better.
Which is, and this is interesting, like, to me, because I didn't have the same problems that you guys had with High School of the Dead. I thought it was fine. I never read the manga to that, but...
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is, the manga for, like, it doesn't have all that really awful fan service. Like the Matrix boobs... It doesn't have... You can't do that in the manga, obviously. Well, I mean, so they have to do this thing, like, I don't know, focus on story.
Well, and they have, like character things that happen in the manga that they added things to the anime that were really stupid, and they took things out in the order. They kind of Walking Dead it, like, where they took the Walking... You know how the Walking Dead is, like, the comic book, but it's not?
Yeah.
And they really messed up the story in the TV series apart from the manga. It's kind of the same thing with the anime, where certain events happen that shouldn't happen where they did, and then they added events that really messed up the story that was really good in the manga. That's why I like the manga better than that, but...
I don't know. Yeah, I like Triage X.
Cool. So. I do want to throw in just a little one that Evan from the Boston Master Brigade threw my way, which was Itotama.
Uh-huh. What's that one?
A cat girl anime.
Okay.
It's like the new cat girl anime this season that's like, oh, here's a cute cat girl, and here's like this character who moved to Akihabara, and now there's cat girls and dog deities and bunny girls and like everything that's up my alley.
Wow. There's also that I haven't watched
it yet, but yeah. I'm going to.
I actually thought there's one that hasn't come out yet, which reminds me, the Studio Trigger Ninja Slayer. Yeah, that one started, and I haven't gotten to it yet. It's on.
Where did it start?
It's on Funimation.
Oh, Funimation!
Which means if you don't pay $40 a year, then you can only watch the first 2 episodes. But the other one that I thought Edotama, when he was first introducing it to you, I thought it was actually Monster Musume. Have you seen that one? That one hasn't started yet.
Oh, the one that's like a really famous manga.
Yeah, it's based off a famous manga, and it's a harem, but all the girls in it are monster girls. So there is like a centaur, a cherub. What do you call the birds?
Harpy.
Harpy. There you go. I almost went cherubs.
One of the snake demons.
Yeah, one of the half snake, half girls. Like, oh my gosh, it's so weird.
I want to watch it.
It's gonna be the weirdest harem ever made. I can guarantee, and I'm going to watch it too.
And I also want to kind of just make mention, because I wasn't able to talk about it for the past few episodes, that the anime that I was watching, Psychono, which was that really well animated, you know, How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend, harem, that was really great, and I loved it to death, ended really well, and I hope that they make a season 2.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I really, really hope they make a season 2.
Dylan, anything in the queue for you?
Not anime-wise, but I have, since we last recorded, seen a couple Akira Kurosawa movies that were really cool. I finally finished The Seven Samurai, and my mom actually got me the Criterion Blu-ray for Easter, so I have that now.
No way. That's a sweet Easter gift.
Yeah, and it's one of those movies that's like been reimagined or like referenced so many times, so that by the time you see it, you're like, oh, okay, this was in that movie.
Yeah.
And like, and it was the same way with, because I also watched another one of his films called Yojimbo, which was actually really cool, and everyone.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, you get, if you're listening to this and you want to watch a cool Japanese samurai movie, check out Yojimbo. It's not nearly as long as The Seven Samurai, so if you don't want to.
It's really violent, though, isn't it?
Yojimbo? Parts of it, yes.
Yeah.
Like, his movies aren't actually super violent. Like, if there is, there might be, like, one little thing of violence. Like, there's, like, a little bit of violence, but not, like, a ton of it. But where there is violence, it is, I guess, like, graphic really for the time, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Nicholas Winding Refn. Like, how, like, his movies aren't violent, but when they get violent, they're really violent.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I have to put the links into the description for every frame of painting.
Oh yeah,
he's Every Frame of Painting. Tony Zhao. He's an editor and he breaks down films and he loves Akira Kurosawa and he's had multiple videos breaking down his films and he's brilliant at doing it and you'll understand his films.
Yeah, if you're just so a fan of film or like movies, check out his YouTube channel because it's really interesting and I like pick up something I find really interesting every time. And he even did like a breakdown of Michael Bay's directing.
Bayhem.
Yeah. But
I love that one because that's like his only video where he's like, you know, yeah. Everything he's so fascinated about, and then he talks about Bayhem and he's just like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
But if you have Hulu, a bunch of Kurosawa's movies are on there and you can check out Yojimbo. But I was basically just going to say that Yojimbo, one of Clint Eastwood's old westerns that I liked, I forget which one it was. It might have been like A Few Dollars More or one of those was based off of Yojimbo, and I didn't realize that. So
yeah, that's awesome.
When I saw Yojimbo, I was like, oh, like this particular line is actually in the Clint Eastwood movie. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So we were ripping off other forms of media even before I realized it.
Yeah. You know, and now that you're talking about live action films, I just want to talk really, really quick of the one that we picked up from, or that I picked up from Anime Boston, which was the live action Cromartie High School
movie. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
The live action what?
Cromartie High School is a famous manga about delinquents that go, like a delinquent high school. And then they made an anime about it, which each episode is only 12 minutes long. It's like a short anime. It's wicked funny. It's one of the funniest animes ever. And they made a live action adaptation to it, to which the actual director and writer of Cromartie High School was a part of. So it's still that same Cromartie.
It's true to it.
It's really funny.
Translates really well.
Yeah, translates really well. Highly recommended. Cromartie High School. Watch it both anime and live action. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like characters in it, like one of the delinquents, his name is Freddy, and he's based off of Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, he looks like Freddie Mercury.
He wears is suspenders and nothing else, and he's got like this really thick mustache.
I absolutely love Mechazawa-kun.
Yeah,
because Mechazawa-sensei, I think.
Senpai, whatever.
Mechazawa. Mechazawa is a robot student who is just a giant cylinder robot, and nobody in the school except for the main characters know he's a robot.
Yeah.
So like the two main characters are like, oh, look at that robot, and everybody's walking up to him like, Mechazawa, what are we gonna do? Like,
there's
like
a robot. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, they're gonna notice, they're gonna say it. It's hilarious. You guys have to check out Cromartie High School. It's a classic.
Yeah. All right, so cool. That's about it for what we're watching. How about we finally get to our Tapagotchi?
Yeah, we're going to skip all the other new sections that we usually do for this show and go right to.
Yeah, we've gone on a little long. There's a lot of stuff that we need to talk about because we backed up from Con Month. And it's time to talk about some psychologically disturbing moments in anime.
Yes. I kind of don't want to go first. I'll start with the. I guess I will start
with a one.
Yeah, with a one. Because does everybody else have an idea of what they're going to talk about?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I only have like one specific thing that I'm really going to talk
okay,
about.
Okay, so then I'm going to kick it off with this idea. And I know the main idea is psychologically disturbing moments, but I'm going to
just break it down and just talk about something that psychologically disturbed me.
Okay.
And that was the end of Evangelion.
The whole thing.
The whole movie. So, when I watched the end of Evangelion, and I love Evangelion. I'm a huge Evangelion fan. It's such a bizarre world and really, really sad and depressing. So I watched the movie, the end of Evangelion, and that was like, it ended the movie series and in the TV series in the most messed up way possible, to the point where after I was done watching the movie, I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and I was depressed. Like, clinically depressed. Just
I don't want to get out of bed.
Like, I sat on the couch all day long because it was so sad and so depressing.
I didn't get that when I watched it. I thought it was great, but I didn't get that.
See, because I just love the characters so much, and I love the story so much, and it was so sad. They killed everybody.
Spoilers, almost. By the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a spoiler to say that they killed everybody, because people die in Evangelion regularly.
Right. Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I've been that into the West. I've been watching Sons of Anarchy. Lots and lots of Sons of Anarchy.
Have you finished it yet?
No, I'm on season. I'm on season at the end of season 5. Season 6 is on Netflix, and season 7 comes out in a couple days.
Oh, really? I haven't seen the last season yet. So.
Yeah. So season 7 comes out on April 27th, which is way past the recording day right now. So yeah.
Into the West.
Yeah. So
surprise.
So yeah, psychologically disturbing moment for me would be all the entirety of the end of Evangelion, which depressed me to no end. I was just so depressed.
No end of Evangelion.
I'm over it now. Just saying, I'm over it now. But that was my major introduction to, oh man, like this. Like,
you suddenly knew how Shinji felt throughout the entire
series.
Yeah,
like, this story messed with my head so much. Like, and that's all my stories of psychologically disturbing moments is those kinds of moments where it's just like, I wasn't prepared for that.
I don't know if I've ever watched an anime like that before. I feel like there is one that did that to me.
Dragon Ball Z. When Krillin died the first time.
Oh, no. I was not prepared for that.
When Yamcha died.
Anyway,
so my psychologically disturbing thing is actually a topic, really, in itself.
Yeah.
Because the first time I ever saw a Yandere character freaked me the hell out. Like I was just so messed up and for anybody who needs the description of what a Yandere is, we've described it many times, but if you're new or listening, a new listener, a Yandere is a female moe type. That is, if you have a girl who likes you and will kill everybody around you just so she is the last person who you can love.
Yeah, and if you don't love her back, she will make it so that you cannot have anybody else, so she will kill you.
Chicks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Chicks, man.
It's,
shout out to Yandere Simulator, which is a game.
Yeah.
Yandere Ultimate Waifu Simulator.
Yeah, we talked about this on the show already. There's a game coming out called Yandere Simulator where you play as the Yandere to win the heart. Yeah, and you have to kill off all the other girls.
It's like the Hitman franchise.
Yeah, think anime. Hitman, but anime, and you're the Yandere.
Yes.
Oh, I want to play it so bad.
I've seen the demo. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
Link in the description again. We put it in the description when Gerardo sent it to us originally.
Yeah. Well, we got it from everybody. Gerardo sent it to us. Keto sent it to us.
Really? Like, everybody. So there was a lot of... Okay.
Yeah, everybody was like, Yandere Simulator.
Yeah, you can play a beta or an alpha of it, I think, now.
It's like, it's not even an alpha build, it's like a pre-build.
Wow. Okay, so. But yeah, that's good. But yeah, first time I saw Yandere, there are some very, very good moments in Yandere to describe. I forget the first time I saw it, but I think a faux description of it, I think the first time I saw it was like Higurashi. Nonaku Kuroni.
Yeah, kind of.
It kind of, it's because it wasn't really a love thing, but it was psycho girls getting ready to kill a guy if they don't do what he says. Which, it freaked me out. If you guys have seen When They Cry, the first arc when the main character...
Oh, the first arc is so good.
When they start to go crazy and they get those Yandere eyes, the really small pupils with the kind of glow behind them.
Yeah, they have like a cat eye almost.
Yeah, and like you just see their eye, like he's looking outside and you just see their eyes peering through the crack in his door and they say, don't be late for school tomorrow. Oh my gosh, that freaked me out so bad. Like, that messed me up.
See, that's weird, because, again, like, you say you get that. Like, for me, it's a completely story. Like, if a story goes in a direction that I wasn't prepared for, that throws me for a loop and messes me up. Yours is, like, characters that freak you
out. Yeah, like, characters, like, things that characters do. Yeah. You know, that,
Shuffle has some yandere without spoiling anything. Shuffle has some yandere.
Yeah, which isn't in the visual novel.
Yeah.
They added that to the anime, and it was awesome.
Yes,
like,
it was
a great addition.
School Days is yandere in its most famous form.
But the most famous one, I think, in most recent days would be Mirror Nikki,
which is
Diary.
Garbage.
It's a garbage anime, but the yandere in it is the purest yandere editor's form. And that one freaked me out. Like,
yandere in its purest form.
Yeah. When like that time where the main character gets so freaked out that he runs home and he like locks his door.
Yeah, and like
and
collapses
then you see,
in his doorway.
Collapses in his doorway, and then you hear Oyasumi, you know,
yeah,
and then he
night, Yuki, and then
the main character looks over and there are these two glowing eyes peering through his mailbox slot and she's saying goodnight, just Oyasumi Yuki, you know, oh my gosh, that freaked me out.
Yeah. They're like stalkers who will kill you. So
yeah,
that's
but they love you. Yeah, they love you, but they're gonna kill you if you don't do what they say.
So yandere is really, that's your psychologically
different? Kind of. I mean, I feel
because I have another moment that I'm gonna talk about.
I feel like there's more, but I think the one that comes to mind regularly is yes, yandere characters freak me out.
That damages your psyche.
Yeah,
because like yeah, other things damage my psyche. Go ahead, Dylan.
Well, for mine, I was. The first one really didn't affect me psychologically as much as it just creeped me out, which was the infamous part from Sword Art Online where the creepy dude, like, it took the turn and he, like, started tentacle touching the girl. It was just weird.
See, when season 2 did the thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, that would just sort of creep me out more. But the thing that actually came to mind when you brought this topic up before was, apart from Trigun, actually. Ooh. You guys haven't seen it, right? Did you?
No, yeah, we have all of Trigun, yeah.
So this will be probably spoilers for Trigun, but...
Spoiler alert.
When I saw the Trigun for the first time, the villain, the, like, right-hand villain, Legato, had those, like, weird telekinesis powers where he could control people's bodies and he would, like, make people break their own arms and weird stuff like that.
Yes.
Like, towards the end of the series... He is, like, fighting Vash, and Vash doesn't want to kill anyone, so that's, like, his shtick. He just doesn't want to kill at all. Like, he wants to find a way out of a situation without killing someone. And Legato basically forces him to kill him. Legato forces Vash to kill Legato, or he'll kill his friends. And so Vash has to make this choice, like, I have to kill someone to save, like, people I care about.
Yeah. And, yes, like, that is a... great example.
Yeah, like, just the morality of that is like, oh man, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like, it's actually, I know it's kind of a lesser example, but for anybody who hasn't seen Trigun, it's basically what they did at the end of Man of Steel, the Superman movie, where, you know,
when Zod was like, I'll burn them to death if you don't break my neck.
Yeah, exactly. He made him make that same moral choice. And that is a really, really good example of, it's like a most basic choice, like a morality choice, yeah. when story writing.
And it worked so great for the show, too, because Legato, I actually think Legato was the better villain of Trigun, even though he wasn't the main villain. But, like, that was the only way Legato would die, is to, like, he figured out, okay, the best way for me to hurt Vash is for me to get him to kill someone. And so he basically finds a way to force Vash to kill him. And that's like that did Vash more damage than Legato could have physically done to Vash.
Yeah, which is a really interesting point when you bring it up, because villains, like they say in Batman, some people just want to see the world burn. When you come across a point like that, villains never get to see. Well, I mean, they get to see their end, you know, the result where they mess up the character, but they never get to see the results after that. Like, Legato never got to see how it destroyed Vash after he was dead, because he was dead. You know, so it's kind of a weird thing where
that is kind of weird to think.
The
about.
Villain dies only assuming that he did what he set out to do.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of weird. Yeah,
that's a really good example, though.
Okay, so I have another example. And this one was like, this one kind of hurt me, like on a level, like it, in a psychologically disturbing way. And it was in Black Lagoon. And I've read like all the manga to Black Lagoon. Like Black Lagoon is the only manga that I will buy in volumes because it's my favorite. Like I love Black Lagoon. And so Roberta's Blood Trail came out. And Roberta's Blood Trail went through Revy, the main character, like her whole like past history and stuff like that, went through her childhood, you know, her street life, her crime, her abusive father and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh man, that's really weird, really messed up, because I remember reading a little bit about in the manga. But something that I do not remember being in the manga is she got arrested on the street. And the there was a cop that pulled her, or, like, arrested her and brought her back and then raped her. And, like, I was just like, I don't remember that being in the manga, and I was not prepared for that.
Yeah.
Like, and it was, like, and, like, it's like, Revy as, like, a 15-year-old girl being raped by this cop in, like, in a cell, and, like, it hurt me to watch that.
That's really messed up.
Yeah, it was super messed up, and, like, it's almost like the anime forces you to watch it.
Yeah.
And like they use like some really grotesque sound effects, and they use, and Revy is like freaking out, and just like having
it's too real.
Yeah, like,
it was too real.
It was way too real, and like the fact that like it maybe like added a little bit more seeing that Revy is like my main waifu. Like it's kind of like it kind of messed me up a little bit too. But like it was just one of those moments that was like I was not prepared for that.
That's
like,
actually really interesting because that made me think of another one. And they kind of did the same thing in Helsing, except it was a little different. Sarah's Victoria's background. There's, like, one moment in one of the best fight scenes in the entire series when she's fighting the chick who can make your greatest fears come to life.
Yeah.
I forget her, but that's, like, one of the best fight scenes in the entire series. And she puts her power onto Sarah's, and it brings her back to when she's, like, I don't know, what, a 5-year-old girl, and she's hiding it. Her mother hides her in a closet because there's two guys robbing their house, and then so the mother hides Sarah in the closet, and the mother gets killed by the robbers. They kill her, and then they rape her.
Yeah.
And Sarah watches it.
Yeah.
Like hiding from the closet, watch them kill her mother and them. And like this is getting really 18+ now that I think about this topic.
But yeah,
but like that really messed me up. Like when I read that in the manga for the first time, that was just like I cannot believe. Luckily, when the Helsing Ultimate came out, I was prepared for it. But even still, being able to watch it again, it's like that thing where it's like you can't, like you have to watch it in order to get through it. I mean, like you can skip through it, obviously, but you know.
But it's almost like the anime forces you to watch it.
Yeah,
like that's it. Like that's what I think. What makes it so tough is not only is like it's fake. Like it's a story. Somebody wrote the story. It didn't really happen.
Yeah, it's cartoon characters.
But the thing is if you're so in depth into a story,
like, and if you fall in love with a character,
yeah, like you love characters in the story, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is canon. Like you make that realization of like this really happened to that character. Like it didn't really happen in real life, but like you're like, oh man, like I can't fix that. Like I can't make that not happen.
Yeah.
Because it actually happened to this character. Like that's what disturbs me on like different levels.
Yeah.
Is like when things happen to characters that I was not prepared for.
That's true.
Do you see where we're coming from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that Revy thing was, like, the second... That was what I was talking about. Like, when I got that email from him, I was like, I know. Like, because that's the one that sticks... That's the top of my list of disturbing things was that Revy rape scene, because I was just like, that... I was not prepared for that. I did not want to see that. I did not want to... I guess I... You'd want to know... That brings up another question. Would you want to know something about... Like, because that's a part of the character's history, but it's so disturbing. Did you want to know about it? And I think the answer is yes, but I don't know if, like, I prefer if that wasn't part of her story, you know, I prefer that Revy wasn't raped, you know, because, like, Because I think, like, one of the things is just like, wow, I have to sit here and watch it. I can't do anything to help that.
Well, yeah, because it's, like, something like that is just a horrible, horrible thing that happens in real people's lives.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Yeah. And when they throw that into a story for entertainment value, it's kind of like a moral question in the story right on its own. I don't know
if I'd call it entertainment value, though.
Well, it's, I'm talking about, like, entertaining media. Yeah. Like, you watch Black Lagoon, and it's entertaining. And then you throw in something like that, and you know, some... A writer had to make a moral choice to be able to put something like that in a show.
Yeah.
You know? And that is a real... Like, Dylan, you were talking about morals with your Trigun thing. Mm-hmm. Well, a writer had to go through moral things in order to make decisions to put this stuff in their stories. I wonder what kind of feelings goes through a writer's head.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I write stuff like that.
Writers are usually pretty messed up.
Yeah, I'm pretty messed up.
That's true. I mean, it is true that they can be pretty messed up.
Well, because the thing is like, I'm, like, when I write my stories, like, I make the decision to write some of that stuff in as well.
Right.
But I don't know if I would, I've taken influence from Black Lagoon. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, there's some elements that I'm writing into my story that I've taken influence from Black Lagoon because I've learned that. Like, I've seen what they've done, and I'm kind of taking it into my own accounts and being like, I want to kind of, like, take these themes and apply it.
It's kind of interesting too, because I know that your writing style is kind of like, I want to show people how horrible the world is.
Yes, that is exactly my writing style.
Yeah, and I kind of like that. I think that that's a really good way of writing, is when people take actual horrible things. Like, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing when people put these moral things into their stories. I actually kind of like it, you know, when they yeah. say...
It just disturbs me!
Yeah, I want to show the world this horrible.
Whenever a harm ends, I'm so disturbed. Because I'm just like, oh, like, I don't want it to stop, I want to see more! There we go. Psychologically disturbing.
It just messes you up.
The ending of the harem.
Well, okay, harems are really harsh in themselves, because... Again, moral standards, when the writer has to come to a decision that ultimately... They have to, except when they cop out, like in Cat Planet Cuties.
Cat Planet Cuties. Oh, polygamy is welcome on
my
planet.
We have a polygamy society. Let's leave Earth and go to our planet.
No, that's not an ending.
Yeah. Shut up, harems. No, but harems are a really interesting thing, because everybody likes their own characters, and you want to see, like, your character end up ultimately happy in the end, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes they do find their own happiness in other ways, kind of like in The World God Only Knows.
Yeah, well, the ending to the manga is, like, great. Like, it's perfect. I could not be happier with the way that The World God Only Knows ended, so...
Oh, you know what? I actually have one from a manga. One of my favorite mangas of all time. It's a really short manga called Change 123.
I love Change 123.
I think we talked about this a long time ago, but that's my favorite manga ever. And the first time one of the characters in it has split personality disorder, and they turn into... There's this one part where they create this new character that turns up, and it's like a psychopath, and it hurts the main character in the story. And that's, like, the main thing is that it hurts the main character. And that actually kind of messed me up too, because you fall in love with this girl who has these psychological issues. And, it's a really, the manga at heart is funny. It's a funny action, and you should totally check it out. But there's this one part where they introduce this new character that turns into, like, a psycho, and it gets dark for a moment. And that kind of messed me up too, because, like, it hurts the main character. When it hurts the main character, you know, she hits him and breaks his arm. And when they do that scene, the character freaks out, you know, like that, like, oh my gosh, this girl I love hurt me. And you kind of feel the same way too. That kind of hit me pretty hard, you know. And Change 123, I highly recommend it. It's a very, very good
manga. It is very adult though.
It is adult, but it's good. It goes away after a while. Like, they still keep some fan service stuff in it, but it's very light. Go for the fan service and you stay for the story. That's kind of how most mangas work out.
If you're 17, go read it.
Yeah. All right. I kind of like the way where that Tamagotchi was.
So I hope that was, like, answered his questions. Like, I hope that's what you meant by psychologically disturbing moments, because those were some real psychologically disturbing moments to me.
Hey, it messed us up. It's a subjective thing. And, you know, I really want to hear what the fans have to say.
Yes. Guys, please email us on this topic. Like, this topic is so great.
Wait, one more. I got it. We actually don't... It's so messed up that we don't show it during our hardcore anime panel, and that was the only time I have ever seen sodomy in anime, and that was in Violence Jack.
Oh, but that's different, though. Like,
that was, well, see, Violence Jack is messed up to be messed up.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the whole, like, yeah, it's messed up to be messed up, but there's no connection to that character. Like, no, it just happens in
there
the story.
There isn't, but like, in the way that Yandere affects me when a character does something, that messed me up when I saw the first time that, like, they had to mosaic it out in the official release of the anime, because, like, they did such messed up things in that anime, but, like, the whole thing is messed up, but that one part where there was, like, there was sodomy, that's messed up, yo. Don't do that.
Yeah.
don't sodomize people.
I guess so. I don't know. I think that's a little different. Like, because it didn't disturb me on the same level as, like, watching a character.
It's, for that one, though, is different, because for a moment it disturbs you. Like, you see it and it's like, whoa, you know, and then it's over, you know. But like, because it's like, whoa, I never expected to see somebody put that in a cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, it's
even in an 18+ cartoon.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another thing. It's like a little moment that didn't end. Okay, so let's move on to some fan service. We don't have a lot, one thing that we can talk about is thank you for coming to our panels at Anime Boston. We didn't get to talk about this really during the main thing.
The post-con.
But thank you for coming to our panels and coming up and talking to us. We got so many people who really praised us. During our My Waifu's Not Weird panel, I was really nervous about it, because I knew when we actually did, we got actual scientists, people who were there. And there was somebody who was going to school for sexology who came up to me and said, everything that you said was perfect. And that really hit home, because I was really nervous about not being a scientist myself and presenting these facts that I was reading about for a long time, and I presented them well. Thank you for your feedback, fans, on that, and I look forward to giving you a better presentation of that in the future.
Wicked fan Mike sent us over a cool little news story about a game coming out for the 3DS called Yo-Kai Watch, which is like a homage to the Ghostbusters series.
Yeah.
It's like this little cutesy Ghostbusters series, Team Red Cats and Team White Dogs fight capturing ghosts.
Cool.
So thanks, Mike, for sharing with
us. Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Wicked fan Keto, we messaged us and said, Anime Boston looked nutty sick this year. It was, man. Thank you for noticing.
thanks for noticing the place that we went to.
Yeah, I really hope that you actually will join us some year, or maybe we'll join you over at Anime Expo. But then next he also said, my Christmas demand is coming true, which was Spirit Away on Blu-ray. Congratulations, Keto.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
That's awesome.
He says, I know it's a little weird to announce it late. No, it's not. Talk about your Christmas demands.
Yeah.
If it comes true.
If it comes true, you know, Christmas happens all year round with Christmas demands.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
And then second, Keto sent us another news story.
I saw this news story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go.
Keto shot us over a news story of the real-life Kamen Rider patrolling the streets of Japan. The same way they did, like, the real Batman in Japan.
G-Batman.
And all the, like, real-life superheroes that show up. Well, now there's a guy dressed as Kamen Rider patrolling the streets as Kamen Rider. And how cool is that?
Yeah. I think that's awesome. And yeah, he's pulling over drunk drivers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he's got a legit Kamen Rider bike, you know, and he's got the mask.
So cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, like, that's how real superheroes are born. Is you just do small things, and people will appreciate it, and they will love you, you know.
Yeah,
and you don't have to do things like in Kick-Ass and actually hurt people.
Yeah.
Lastly, we got some really nice praise from a fan. Schmallison sent us a Tumblr. She reblogged PostCon Podcast.
Yep, this is our wicked fan Allison that we met at Anime Boston.
Yeah, and she's just sent us a message saying that she really loves listening to our podcast from her long-ass drives into Boston. She actually works at the airport, and she drives from Salem. So she really enjoys listening to our podcast from there on, and she recommended that everybody else give it a listen as well. So thank you for the kind words.
Yes, thank you, Allison.
Again, it really means a lot to us.
Yeah, and, you know, the whole Anime Boston experience, running into a fan like that is just the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it makes our weekend when fans come up and say hi to us. You know, that's why we really like doing the fan service thing for all of you guys. So let's move on to some shameless plugs.
Okay, guys. So if you want to join our conversation, and I am begging you, please join our conversation for the
moment. We want to hear about your mental pain.
Yes, tell us about your psychologically disturbing, especially you, Scott, seeing that you were the one who suggested this topic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. He said, okay, the moment, this is actually really true. The moment in Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, we won't say, but it involves Nina, and if and just saying that...
It's kind of spoilery.
If Victoria were here, she would go, no!
I wish Victoria was here, because she knows yeah, some she would stuff. Talk about she has some stories,
maybe we'll get some. Maybe we'll get some answers for her, and we'll relay them back on the next episode. And also, Scott said that everything... There was nothing more disturbing to him since watching Elfin Lied.
Yeah. My favorite.
Yeah, Andrew, I thought that would disturb you.
But it didn't break my heart the way that just watching weird stuff like the other ones did.
Yeah.
Like Elfin Lied was like my first real dive into anime where I found, oh, this is my favorite anime ever.
Yeah.
But it didn't mess me up.
Interesting. Because some of the backstory stuff is really weird. Like the thing with the puppy. I've never seen a puppy's head smashed in with a vase before.
Yeah,
especially by preschoolers.
The puppy
that was messed up, yo.
And the sexual abuse. Remember with?
Oh yeah, man. There was a lot of weird stuff.
Lot of really weird.
I think I've repressed a lot of stuff from Elfin Lied.
And the manga is even weirder.
Yeah, it is. It's way worse. There's a lot more villains in the manga, which when they get their justice handed out to them is like the most satisfying thing in the world.
Yeah. So the
Elfin Lied manga.
So there you go.
Scott, thank you for contributing. This was a great topic.
Yeah. Contribute again if you can. So email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, and you can message us there as well. We get tons of messages from the fans on Facebook. You guys really like following us there. We share some cool news stories that we see that don't make it onto the show. We give you updates on events and where we'll be, where we're going, and things that are coming up like videos. Then you can find us at twitter.com, where you can tweet at us @YoWickedAnime. That's YoWickedAnime. Just tweet at us there. It's so much fun. I love Twitter.
Yeah.
You can find us at tumblr.com, which is the trash heap of the internet, of where we tumble things at wickedanime.tumblr.com. Finally, of course, you can find us at nerdyshow.com, where you can find our podcast. If you're not listening to it there, you can listen to it at SoundCloud/WickedAnime, and also on iTunes. You can also find our video stuff at nerdyshow.com/WickedAnime. Where, of course, there we go, YouTube.com/WickedAnimeReviews. We promise we have some videos in the work, including our panel videos, as well as the upcoming new review video that I have going in the background.
Yeah,
finish Sons of Anarchy.
Plus our anime Boston video as well. You know.
Yep, our anime Boston videos will be coming up soon as well. It was a great time. Finally, here's something I want to mention, is I made a note about this not too long ago, but by now it's a couple weeks away, is the Monster Hunter Weekends.
Yes, it's finally happening. I have my own copy now.
Yes, we have Glitch, who has a copy of Monster Hunter. We have Jared, who I play-tested Monster Hunter with. Maybe even Evan from the Boston Bastard Brigade will join us. And I already have some...
Well, I'll create hunting troops.
Yep, and I also have some already got some contact information on the Monster Hunter channel.
You're kidding me. What is that?
So, guys, send us a message, a friend request, or a connection request on Skype, and that is WickedAnime, one word, MH. WickedAnime MH, all one word. That's the channel you want to send it to, and you want to say, Wicked fan, your name, ready to hunt. And that's how we'll know that you'll join. So Monster Hunter Weekends are going to be the second or the third Saturday and Sunday of every month, depending on our recording schedule. And their Saturday sessions will run from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at night, for those of you who have to work late on Saturdays. And Sundays will run from 3 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. at night. 4-hour sessions each. I hope I did the math correctly. I don't think I did.
No, that's right. Yeah, you're good.
And that's all Eastern Standard Time. It's Eastern Standard Time because I know some of you live out in California, which means that'll be noontime your time. So it'll be run from noon to 4 if you're on the Pacific, which I think is a really good time.
Yeah.
So
it is going to be a good time.
Yeah. So tentatively, we're planning on starting in March. May.
we're going back.
Yeah. Tentatively, we're going to start in May. As our first session, but we might squeak in a couple special sessions for you guys. We don't know.
Sessions.
We'll, Yeah, special needs. And, oh, somebody also asked us, do I have to be at a certain level or a certain rank?
Hell no. Yeah, I suck at Monster Hunter.
No, guys. Guys, if you're at a lower level, we're happily going to go boost your hunter rank, no problem. I am a hunter rank 4. Yeah. I mean, that's like nothing in comparison to the G rank 99, whatever.
Yeah, guys, if you're in my Jonathan's hunting group, I am going to be following you. I am awful. I am the worst. Please let me... mooch off of your experience.
And if we get enough people to play in the troops, we're actually going to split up into multiple Skype channels, and we'll create a noob hunting group or a high rank hunting group. We'll split up in a whole bunch of different hunting groups. It really does not matter what level you're at. We're going to play it to have fun. No elitist allowed. We do not allow Monster Hunter elitists. If you want to wear an armor set because it looks cool, you wear that armor set. And if you want to use a weapon because you like that weapon, who cares what its sharpness is at? No Monster Hunter elitist. If you're a Monster Hunter elitist, get the hell out right now. You're not welcome.
Yeah, we've had some really bad experiences in the past.
Yeah, Monster Hunter elitists are the worst guys. Sorry. So that'll be fun. Keep an eye out for that. We'll keep you updated on Facebook and maybe even on Twitter. But that's it. That's all we have for you this week of first non-con month episode after coming back from Anime Boston. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We hope you're violently disturbed by what we talked about.
I am.
And we'll talk to you next time. And we'll sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye.
Disgusting people.
Right? It's like cons are a cesspool of gross people. And no, I'm sorry.
I was just about to say.
You carry diseases, and when they're all together in one place, it turns into giant kaiju germs and gets everyone sick.
Cons are a cesspool.
You disgusting people. Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.